get right to him.
Let's just get right to Dr. Greer on the phone. Dr. Greer, hello.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are
great,
you?
Great, great. Now, Dr. Greer, is, as we were talking during the break, was an emergency room doctor and is now in charge of the Disclosure Project. And the Disclosure Project is, of course, a nonprofit research effort that has since 1993 been identifying top secret military, government, and other witnesses to UFO and extraterrestrial events. And given the most recent circumstances of the shuttle falling apart in midair, it only leads me to believe that we're on the right track to perhaps opening that door for better technology than what we're using. Would that be a correct statement, Dr. Greer?
Well, this is something I've been talking to my technical people. You know, we have engineers at Boeing, and we have people in all kinds of places that are working with us who know about some technologies that have been kept out of the mainstream space program. You know, my uncle, my mom's brother, was the senior project engineer for the lunar module that took Neil Armstrong to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a connection to the, you know, a space program through family since I was a child. And what's tragic is that at the time that we landed on the moon in 1969, at that point we already had in these so-called black projects two space and back capable so-called anti-gravity electrogravitic vehicles that look like a UFO. They're manufactured by a consortium of companies that include Lockheed and Northrop and E-Systems and SAIC and a few other goodies that people probably have never heard of, like Atlantic Research Corporation and a few other obscure multi-billion dollar contractors. But the point is that what a tragedy that we had all these astronauts lost and the billions of dollars wasted on what is essentially space junk. The current space program is using 40s and 50s technology when sitting in covert programs that Ben Rich of Lockheed Skunk Works told us would take an act of God to get them out to benefit humanity, we have technologies that could completely obviate the risk factors of these internal combustion, high-speed reentry, burning up type scenarios because we have figured this out, but they are in a parallel span. And this is, in a sense, a true tragedy, as in the Greek tradition of tragedy, because of human foibles and secrecy and folly, a preventable disaster occurred.
Yes.
In that sense, it's truly a tragedy. And this is why disclosure of this information is so important, not only to the public, but to our policymakers and the people in Washington and the White House who, quite frankly, the public have no idea to the extent to which those folks live in a golden gilded cage, that they really don't know what's going on in the vast reaches of the military-industrial corporate complex that are sitting on these kinds of enormously important scientific breakthroughs that could have completely solved the problems and prevented the tragedy that occurred, of course, this weekend.
You know, we did a survey recently by asking some of the people that that we talked to if they were aware that the government is not disclosing UFO technology. And, you know, the consensus was that they believe that the government is hiding information like that. But it's the attitude was almost nonchalant.
Well, I think it's because people don't understand what that is. I think if they understood that, the technologies which have been viciously suppressed, up to and including the murder of innocent inventors and people that that we have discovered, have kept from the public technologies that could, for example, end global warming, end world poverty, give us a sustainable civilization without ever burning another drop of Mideast oil, give us power plants in our homes where we could be off the grid and not need to be plugged into the central power grid that's collapsing under the weight of the demand and is still using 57% of its energy coming from the burning of coal, which is very polluting and causes enormous global warming. I mean, I think that these are the issues which are directly related to an out-of-control, as Eisenhower said, military-industrial complex in the clandestine and black world. I'm not talking about the mainstream military. I'm talking about this clique within the operation that don't think anything of lying to a U.S. president. You know, when I was giving the briefings for the Clinton people, President Clinton's people back in the 90s, I personally briefed his first CIA director on this problem back in 1993. Now we're talking over 9 years ago, December 13, 1993. And subsequently, I briefed a number of other key people in the Clinton administration and also in Congress, including members of the Senate Intelligence Committee and Government Reform and Oversight Committee in the House, et cetera, and so on. What I found was that they were extremely upset that there were these sorts of projects that were going forward but were, you know, blocked in terms of their access. And we're talking the level of presidential intelligence. So one of the problems is that it's kept secret from the people who are making decisions about foreign policy, about Iraq, about global warming, about drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But they don't really know what's being kept from them, because as the CIA director said to me and my wife at the end of the meeting, he says, well, how do we disclose what we don't have access to? And this was an epiphany for me. I was going, Jesus, this is the director of the Central Intelligence Agency and all Central Intelligence who does the daily briefing for the United States President, who was being deliberately blocked from this information. Now, initially, I felt that was a prevarication and that he must know this stuff. It turned out he was completely being honest. He was completely being truthful. And this is a truly frightening but also a sort of infuriating situation where there are people who have arrogated to themselves the right to keep this knowledge secret. So what we are saying is that the public really has to be educated on why ending this kind of illegal secrecy. I'm not saying there shouldn't be any kind of confidential or secret classification for things at all. But I am saying, or that I'm against the military at all. I'm not, because if it weren't for the hundreds of really stand-up guys who come forward to give their testimony about these things, we wouldn't have the information we have today to give to the public. However, I'm talking about this illegal group that's mainly corporate and mainly private, much more so than military and intelligence, that have seized this sort of scientific data and kept it from the public. And quite frankly, the evolution of human life on Earth has been stunted, hijacked for at least 50 years because of it. And we're now beginning to see the high cost of that that stunting of our natural evolution, where in the 50s and 60s and 70s, we should have been moving around in things that looked like something from the Jetsons, quite frankly. We should have had energy sources that were completely non-polluting, and we should have been able to move out of the sort of geopolitical conundrum we're in today, where we're about to march into a part of the world where we are not wanted, mainly because we of the oil situation.
Right, and I mean, of course, you know, we could. This is a whole other show. We could talk with you about this, and I mean, there's money. There's a lot of big bucks behind what's going on right now, and of course, when this new information comes out, that's going to, of course, change the infrastructure of our society financially. You know, it's got to change something. And
well, it will. It'll change everything.
Yeah.
This is why we're working. You know, people can go to our website, disclosureproject.org, and see what we have been able to put together in the way of extraordinary evidence and testimony from government insiders. We're not talking about civilians who, you know, live out in West Virginia on a farm who saw something. We're talking about colonels and brigadier generals and senior FAA officials and very high-ranking officers, not only in the United States but around the world, who have come forward with their direct information about these sorts of events and projects. And the other project what we have, which people can check out, with, we have a lot of information on this side of a more scientific nature, is what we call Space Energy Access Systems Incorporated. It's a company that were formed to develop these technologies, or to identify scientists who know these technologies that are energy generation systems that are pollution-free, what some would call zero-point energy systems. We'll talk about in a moment. And that website is SeizePower, S-E-A-S-P-O-W-E-R, all one word, SeizePower.com, which is a lovely double entendre in and of itself. But SeizePower is a site where people can read about what we're doing to try to bring forward in the near term, and when I mean near term, we hope this year, energy generation systems that would be able to be placed at your house or business, take you off the grid and create energy out of what is called the quantum vacuum flux field. And what I mean by that is that the scientists have known for some time that there's a baseline energy field that is around us not in outer space, but in the space around us sitting right where we are, mm-hmm. that can be tapped into, and it's been estimated that every cubic centimeter of that, of the structure of space in this sort of vacuum, has enough energy in it to run the world for one day. And what we are looking at today are some serious breakthroughs that have just come to our attention in the past few weeks of a technology made by a brilliant scientist that very simply taps into that energy field. It sounds like something maybe Tesla would have discovered many years ago, mm-hmm. before it got suppressed by J.P. Morgan and that crowd.
Yeah.
But this is a scientist who is just an enormously wonderful and humble person, and who has demonstrated for us the ability, literally with almost no input power, to be able to be running appliances, lights, whatever you want, by tapping into this baseline energy field. Well, as REM said in their song, it's the end of the world as we know it, because this technology, which I have seen with my own eyes recently, along with the board of directors of this company that I formed last year, is an enormous breakthrough. I have, quite frankly, I was just, as they say in England, gobsmacked when I saw this thing. I mean, it was amazing. It was like lightning went down my spine. And I've looked at a lot of things all over the world over the last 12 years of doing this work, but this was just simply astounding. And I can say that we have this under license from the person to be the entity to bring this out to the world. So we're going to do this with all due speed.
Now, this is something that's tangible, that is existing right now. And you know, on previous shows we've had you on, we've talked about, let's show me the money. Show me the evidence.
Well, someone finally came forward who did.
And so now, when is this and how is this going to be presented to the general public, and besides what we're doing right now?
Well, it is a process, the outline of which is on the website I just shared with people,
right.
Seizedpower.com. And what we are looking to do over the next month or two is to do what I call due diligence reproducibility studies. We're very scientific in our approach to this. As you know, I'm an emergency doctor, and the people on my team are just top-drawer scientists, mm-hmm. at major universities and in major corporations who want to see this out to the public. So we're doing this very seriously, and that means the first step is to get the system in a reproducible form that will then be taken to at least three independent universities and laboratories for independent verification of the claims. In other words, what we observed was a fraction of a watt of power from the environment, mm-hmm. going into the machine, and out of it, hundreds of watts of power. This thing was at least 600 to 800 times over unity. In other words, output more than input, because it was tapping into this baseline energy field around us. That's an enormous breakthrough. I mean, you know, usually if someone gets three or four times more output than input, it's considered revolutionary, but this was way beyond that. But we have to do this in a way that's very methodical. What I'm sharing with you today is sort of real time where we are.
Right.
But where we want to be in the next 1 to 3 months is to be able to take the prototype of this device. It would not be the one that would be manufactured, because that has to include all kinds of space-age components so they don't wear out, et cetera. But take the prototype of this device to major institutions who don't have an interest one way or the other, but just simply to give the numbers. This much power goes in, this much power goes out, it's usable power, it's running these appliances, it's running these lights, et cetera, and so on. And we want to also be able to have our people reproduce the device. In other words, be able to know that not just the scientist, but other people with his information given to them can make it, so we know that it's reproducible, that it could be mass manufactured, that within a couple of years we could have millions or hundreds of millions of these devices being shipped out to people to end global warming, end poverty around the world, clean up the environment, et cetera. But to do that, we have to go through these steps, and that'll take another several months. However, the public will have one of these, will have these demonstrated to them, and a general release of this information as soon as we have the independent scientific reports and have our strategic team in place so all of us can safely do this. And I have to emphasize, the reason I'm even talking to you on the airwave about this is because we know that it's your listeners who are listening right now who are our first line of defense from these rogue elements who would like to see us go away. Because if the people know that this is real, they will not stand for being forced into buying oil and gas and using coal.
Yeah.
They will shut Washington down before they let these fascists, quite frankly, take us down the road of global environmental destruction, world poverty, and global wars any further if they know that there's a solution. And so what we're going to do is put together a strategic team that can educate the public rapidly. And this is why anyone listening to this who's a major celebrity or someone who has connections like that into the major media should get hold of us ASAP. We're putting that team together now. We have an extensive network already. But we're going to make this happen in a very aggressive fashion because we know that obscurity is the enemy of these things. So many of these things have come and gone and the public haven't known about it. And we know that the key to getting this out isn't to try to play the secrecy game. No, we're going to play a game that those secrecy guys can't play, and that's the light game, putting a spotlight on this thing, getting it out to the public, and letting the millions and hundreds of millions of people around the world who need this sort of energy and environmental solution to be the supporters of it, the constituents of it, and the stakeholders of it. Yeah. Because once that happens, it'll be very difficult to put that genie back in the bottle. And that's why we're moving quickly with these media discussions this week.
Now, with regard to the demo for the independent study to get out to the public, when is this happening? Or when do you foresee this happening to get it out to the public?
I would say in the next 2 to 3 months to be able to get those studies completed.
Right.
And then sometime after that. Now, we estimate to be able to do this, we'll need somewhere between $10 and $20 million to do the PR, the ad buys, the publicity, and to get the security to get this in place. That's a relatively small amount, and we shouldn't have too much problem with that.
Now,
I say it's a small amount because, you know, Porsche is rolling out a new SUV this month, and they're spending $65 million to educate the public about it. So you have to understand, when Kellogg's rolls out a new brand of Cocoa Puffs, that's a $20 million or $30 million ad campaign. You're not going to overcome the power of the oil companies and the PR machine that they have that's corrupted the media and corrupted Congress without having enough clout to do it. So we're going to have to do that also. So a lot of these things are going to be rate limited by how quickly we can put the strategic and the public education team together.
And that's why we're here.
Right. No, I appreciate that. I mean, that's one of I say that you guys are the front lines on this whole effort.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you, Stephen, when it comes to the machine itself, how big is this?
Oh, it was so funny what we saw. Let me describe it to you because I really got a race ahead. I'm so excited about this.
It is exciting.
I mean, you know, this is like, wow. We went, it was astonishing. This thing literally, we picked it up, carried it outside, and put it on a sidewalk. I'm not kidding you. It was no more than a foot or foot and a half around. It was completely transparent. We could see everything on the inside of it. There were no hidden batteries or no hidden anything.
Wow.
It had some circuitry that enabled it to connect to energy from the environment, not man-made, but natural, which was astonishing. This guy figured out how to do this. And then the thing started up, and off it went. So it went faster and faster and generated perfect energy in the form of 60 hertz, 110 volts, at the amperage needed to be running a 300-watt light bulb we had on the sidewalk, a 100-watt light bulb, a stereo at full boombox blasting, and an oscillating fan like you have in, you know, when it's hot and you have one of these oscillating back and forth fans.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it was running an electric motor, two very strong light bulbs, and a stereo, and it was just purring right along for as long as we wanted to see it. The energy input was some fraction of a watt, and we were measuring several hundred watts output. So this was almost too much to believe, but I saw it with my own eyes and handled the thing with my own hands, and I had my science advisor, Dr. Ted Loader, who's a tenured professor at the University of New Hampshire. He came with some very high-tech fluke meters and measuring devices, and, you know, there was absolutely no sleight of hand here. The scientist is completely upfront, honest about it, and quite frankly, we were astounded. Now, again, this was sort of a primitive prototype of this, but still, it was running real things in the real world with virtually no input power, and that's what we've been searching for, and I believe we found it.
Oh, beautiful.
Now, is this machine you placed on the sidewalk, is it round, is it square?
Both.
Both?
I mean, it has components that are both, but it's not heavy. I mean, I don't know. We didn't weigh it, but I could easily pick it up with one hand.
Now,
and,
when you say he started it, how did he start it? Was it like a button push, or how was this operated?
there was a small circuit that took energy out of the environment. I can't say more than that.
Right, right.
So that opened up the pathway to this so-called zero-point field or quantum vacuum flux field that's around us, and which is really the baseline energy field that supports subatomic particles, electromagnetic fields, everything that we have that's in the three-dimensional world is emanating and fluxing in and out of this quantum vacuum space.
Amazing.
And that's what it was tapping into, as best we could tell. We're not talking something that was very complicated at all. It's just that the person has the genius to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And
Stephen, we need to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project. And we're talking about the quantum vacuum energy system.
Yes.
So we're going to talk more about that and the Disclosure Project when we come back. This is Contact Talk Radio. My name is Cameron Steele.
And I'm Lucia Minetti Steele.
And if you have got a question for Dr. Greer, feel free to call in 1-877-649-1112, and we'll take your questions. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Margaret Pila, founder of the Master Health and Learning Center in downtown Redmond. If you're looking for a way to become inspired about your health and personal growth and re-engage in your life, I invite you to visit me at the center, or just come in and browse. Call us at 425-869-8115, or visit our website, MasteryHealthLearningCenter.com, www.MasteryHealthLearningCenter.com, and check out testimonials of people who've attended classes and had profound life changes.
This segment brought to you by New Times and East West Bookshop.
Hi, this is Marianne Williamson, and you're listening to Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Contact Talk Radio, everybody. My name is Cameron Steele. The number to call if you have questions for Dr. Greer, of course, is 1-877-649-1112. Now, we've been talking to Stephen Greer about the Disclosure Project and the quantum vacuum energy and what some would call zero-point energy. Now, this machine, of course, the scientists for this machine, there are people out there, Dr. Greer, that would probably want to dissolve this information quite quickly, because it seems to me that information like this and the timing for this couldn't have been better.
It would blast out all of the systems that we have in place currently, which is not a bad thing at all. So
no.
it's what we need. I mean, we need to shake the tree really hard.
Well, it's an entire, you know, people talk about the Marshall Plan after World War II. I'd say, you know, we're going to have a global environmental plan for transforming the current way that humanity lives on Earth, which is cannibalizing Gaia and destroying this beautiful planet, into these other non-violent, very clean ways of living
mm-hmm.
on the planet. But, you know, people aren't going to give up their SUVs and travel and their heated homes and air conditioning. But here's the thing. You don't have to. There's no reason why every one of these SUVs running on gasoline, getting 9 miles per gallon like the Excursion and the Navigator get, there's no reason why those vehicles can't have a power plant with this system in it that would have just as much power, except it would be silent and no pollution whatsoever. This is a totally engineerable thing. And the people are going to have to demand it, and they can't demand it unless they know it's real. And so that's why this is, as much as anything, a massive public education and disclosure effort, more so than a traditional sort of business effort, because the public have to know what the capabilities are. Now, you're right that, you know, in terms of security, I tell people you could not outspend the group that I'm referring to. I call it Murder Incorporated, who have literally hundreds of billions of dollars at their disposal. There's no way that you're going to frustrate their ability to know what you're doing. So the only way that you can be involved in this whole situation is to accept that and then do sort of an Aikido, where you take that energy of secrecy and secret power and flip it out into disclosure and transparency, because that is the area in which they cannot function. They don't want to step out onto the playing field where there's a billion-watt spotlight shining on them and try to do any of this nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say the public information and getting this out to the public rapidly, massively, is the most important security. It's strategic security as opposed to tactical security. Tactical security would be armed guards and sensors and lasers and stuff like that. Well, that can be frustrated
mm-hmm.
by even a small operation. Strategic security is very hard to frustrate unless they completely declare martial law and shut down mm-hmm. the world as it currently is.
And that's not going to happen.
They won't do that easily.
No.
Not easily, right.
Not easily. I mean, they'd have to create some catastrophic scenarios where they could justify it, and I wouldn't put morons above doing it.
Yeah.
But the point, I mean, quite frankly, from the people I've met, I think they're capable of anything. But the fact of the matter is, we understand this. The reason we succeeded in getting all this testimony out to the public, with none of our military insiders being threatened, none of them being told to be quiet, none of them being hit with a secrecy order, is because we have so many millions of people following what we're doing. And if that were to happen, they wouldn't silence me. I'm a civilian.
Right.
I'll be on every radio show, and I'll be camped out in front of CBS headquarters and ABC talking about how so-and-so got hauled off to jail for telling the truth about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the way it is. Until I stop breathing the free air of Earth, I'm going to let people know this is what's going on, and there's no way they're going to intimidate me or buy me off. You know, back in the early 90s, I had those kinds of threats, and then I had an offer to be put on the board of this secret group and had billions of dollars offered to me. I said no. They went to my wife and offered it to her. She was just amazed. So this is a true story.
Yeah.
So I know how that game is played. But the unique thing about this company, the Seas company that we've started to bring this technology out, is that if someone appeared at my door today with a certified check for $500 billion in order for them to take control of this, I would tear it up and say, A, I don't need it. B, you know, go jump in a lake. So, you know, there's no way they're going to stop this process unless they can deceive the public.
Mm-hmm.
And the public, I think, are at a point now where there are enough people who kind of know that there's some kind of chicanery going on that's kept us addicted to this black gold called oil.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, a quick question for you. We had a caller who called in and said, how can the public be a part of this to help, to volunteer, to donate funds?
Well, that's a very good question. And the Disclosure Project is a nonprofit, and we are working to get the information about all these issues out to the public, and they can actually donate online or send us some support. They can also contact through the website and fax directly their members of Congress and their senators, asking them to support these new energy developments and also to disclosure of this information to the public. And they can do it at our cost. It's a system we put in place that we pay for, where they can fax a hard copy, not an email, but a faxed hard copy letter into every member of Congress or senator that they wish to do so. And they can do it from our website, disclosureproject.org. The other thing they can do is network. This is all about networking. There's someone listening right now who knows some major media figure or science writer who needs to be in front of the early demonstration of this thing and put it on the front page of the Seattle Times or whatever you have in Seattle or Vancouver or wherever you are. I think that, you know...
We're Seattle, but yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm just saying it's the same neck of the woods. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that people need to seriously look at. And also other types of support for this, networking support, funding support. You know, this is a big effort, and I tell people that it isn't going to happen in any of the traditional ways, because the traditional ways that these things have come out to the public, they have always been buried into some huge corporation that ends up buying up the interest for this sort of thing, and then they put it on a black shelf at GE or General Motors or Westinghouse or Boeing or someplace, and the public never sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, if the U.S. government wants to hit me with some sort of secrecy order on this, I'll go on a major network news program that has already offered this to me and tear that up in front of 100 million people and let them drag me off in handcuffs. I mean, it won't happen. And I mean, that's exactly what our resolve is. And if the people listening have that resolve, they will be there with us to make their voices heard that they want this information and these technologies released, and they're not going to allow any more of this monkey business where they're suppressing it.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, and this is what it's going to take, folks. It's going to take the general public to do exactly what Stephen Greer is talking about, and that is going to disclosureproject.org, contacting the members of Congress, you know, writing these letters, faxing them off. The more people that do this, the more chances of us getting this information out there.
And, you know, Dr. Stephen Greer has made this extremely easy for you to do by going to the website, disclosureproject.org, and having this, being able to fax right through this fantastic website.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happened that's been very nice is that we've been able to, we have a 600-page book that has the transcripts of all these military and government insiders that people can get. And we also have 4-hour and 2-hour videotapes of their testimony that people can get. We have the National Press Club event that we did in 2001 that they can show on their cable access channels where they live.
Yeah.
And all these things that are on the website, we've almost cut the price in half because we had a very generous donor give a huge donation that enabled us to cut all those things in half price almost. So
fantastic.
Now is the time. If people want to get those things and buy a case of them and give them to their friends or coworkers, it's very inexpensive and they can do it.
This is wonderful. Now let me ask you about the device that we're talking about in the scientist. And of course, you know, you being the head operator of the Disclosure Project and really getting this out there about the extraterrestrial technology that the government is not disclosing to the general public, do you think that somehow he's an implant to sort of lead you in a different angle? Or?
Not at all. I have 100% certainty that's not the case. Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, of course, you know, the Disclosure Project itself, I mean, given the recent circumstances, like we said earlier, Stephen, was this is the time. And now this machine can also replace the fossil fuels.
Oh, completely. I mean, this is something which can be scaled up to whatever extent you need to, but would enable every individual to generate their own energy at no cost. Imagine if you had a system like that. It could be part of a new home construction or on your mortgage. You would have virtually no cost for energy.
And
you would never have an electric bill. Same thing if you eventually converted your vehicle to some kind of an electric motor. This would supply the electricity. The big problem with electric cars today is that, A, they have to be recharged, and, B, they don't have much range or power. This technology would change that equation so that they would be practical and acceptable to the consumer. So I think that it really is a whole new way of living on the planet. Now, I have to caution. You know, it takes, if you had every car in Detroit turned to this kind of system next year, it would take literally over 10 years to go through the inventory of cars. We have 200 million cars on the road, and Detroit only makes 16 or 17 million cars a year. So the fact of the matter is, if we start this right now, and next year can start getting the technologies out to the public, it'll take 10 to 20 years to convert the way the world is living on the planet and transform it into this new way. And that's about how much time we have left before we get into such massive geopolitical problems and oil shortage problems and environmental decay problems. So this is why, it's not that this is real futuristic. The way I look at it, we're sort of a day late and a dollar short, but we're doing the best we can.
It's a necessity.
This is a necessity. I'm an emergency doctor, so maybe I see it this way, but I see ourselves in a geopolitical and environmental emergency, and that these things that have been delayed for decades coming out can no longer be delayed, and we hope that the angels and people's prayers are with us. People laugh, and I said, my wife is in charge of what I call our spiritual algorithm, our protocol, where she has all these people saying prayers for protection and guidance because, you know, I'm in the middle of a hurricane here doing this thing. And but our whole team and the scientists, everyone needs to sort of keep these people in light and see that we're kind of make it through this.
You know, Stephen, I have to make a comment, and that's today. You've been on our show twice before in the past few months, and your energy level on this particular subject is up 100%.
Oh, I hear just completely.
So there's totally,
you can feel the breakthrough.
You
can feel the encouragement that you feel through this new discovery, which is fabulous because it helps those around us see the light at the end of the tunnel and really do something about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Now,
we have to. The time is just running out to get this done.
Now, what about the hydrogen fuel? Let's talk about that. I heard that George Bush in his State of the Union address was pushing for this hydrogen fuel in cars, which, of course, is not a very good thing. I mean, we're already with nuclear power plants and the threat of these things blowing up. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like it's the road to travel.
Well, I'll tell you, it might be a good interim road, and let me explain why. I'm talking to another inventor who has invented a way of getting increased amounts of hydrogen directly out of water at low cost, and also has invented a fuel injector that would also be able to be put in your car to drive your car directly on hydrogen. Now, the reason that's important is because what I just said. It's going to take 10 or 20 years to get the current internal combustion engines, or 600 and some million cars on the road in the world, over 200 million in the United States, to get those all converted to these new forms of energy is a multi-trillion, listen to what I'm saying, trillion-dollar industrial retooling. So that's not going to happen overnight.
No.
A hydrogen system, where if you could get hydrogen with free energy, an electric free energy machine like this, that would crack the hydrogen off of water at very low cost, if virtually any cost, and then have a conversion system. So you could drive up to one of these auto places, leave your car for the day, and you drive out with a converter kit, so your internal combustion engine is now burning only hydrogen, and that is putting out only water vapor as pollution. There's no pollution from it. And you can get the hydrogen. Right now, the hydrogen's coming from polluting sources of petroleum. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of energy to do it. If you do electrolysis, it takes an enormous amount of electricity, which is coming from coal-fired plants that are polluting. So it's really not a solution to the problem. Introducing this new energy device into that equation makes the generation of hydrogen clean and virtually free, and then it's a matter of converting existing internal combustion engines to run on hydrogen so that you could have a system in the interim 10 or 20 years that would immediately begin to end pollution in our cities, would immediately begin to reverse global warming, et cetera, and so on, and would give us energy independence from Mideast oil, which is a very important national security issue.
Well, to utilize the hydrogen, isn't it perpetuating what we're trying to discontinue because of the coal burning and the utilizing the electric?
If you do it the way they're planning now, but
right.
not if you do it with this new energy thing as being, if this electric generator that we've just discovered could be applied to the electrolysis program, it's a matter of splitting hydrogen off of water.
Now, let me ask you, the implications of this when it comes to employment. I mean, we've got millions of people employed in plants that are building combustion engines. Is this device going to keep these people employed, or what are you going to do about these people that are currently doing this kind of work?
Well, you know, it's a teeny, teeny fraction of the public employed in actual energy generation that's fossil fuel. That's a very top-heavy industry that mainly goes into a handful of people's pockets. In terms of the masses, yes, there would be very little effect. Now, there are certain hard-hit states like West Virginia. One of the things we hope to do is to put this in front of the West Virginia leadership and say, look, you know, the coal miners and people dependent in your state on the multi-billion-dollar coal industry eventually will be displaced. Let's put some of the R&D and manufacturing things in your state and train these people in this new high-tech technology where they'll be paid better, they'll have safer, cleaner lives, they won't have brown lung disease and all the disasters of coal mining, plus the environmental degradation. So there are some things that can be done. We're very enlightened about doing this in a way that's a win-win-win situation so that there aren't displacements beyond what's necessary, and what is necessary can be done with a fairly soft landing if we all put our heads together and do it properly and compassionately and with forward thinking. Now, that's exactly what our team is about, and I think that it can be done so long as there's cooperation. Now, of course, if some of the big energy players dig their heels in and say, hell no, we're not going to cooperate with this transition, it would be more difficult. But see, that's something I can't control. All we can do is counsel people on the best way to do this. But I'm convinced that the displacement factor from employment will actually not be negligible in the sense that what you're really creating is a whole new technology. And remember this, you have 6 billion people on this planet. Only 10 or 20% of the planet are living anything like we in America do. And so if you look at this, this is the tide that will lift all ships. We can eliminate poverty around the world. We can have clean water, electrification, refrigeration, manufacturing without any pollution from the manufacturing process. A huge percentage of the cost of manufacturing is energy. If the energy becomes free, what does that do? So the $30 trillion global economy could become a $100 trillion global economy, and the amount of poverty in the world could be eliminated literally in a generation. So I think that, you know, people try to bring up these things as if you know, it's apocalyptic to make this kind of change. It's really apocalyptic to stay on the course we're on. And so, you know, in reality, the employment situation will be so greatly enhanced, because right now, if you look at the world globally, most of the world's unemployed.
Yeah. Dr. Stephen Greer, I want to ask you just, we've got about a minute and a half left before we go, and I want to just ask you, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of attention, of course, in the next 2 or 3 months to bring this out to the general public, to do a test of it, to show the general public it. But what about the Disclosure Project? Are we going to be still following up with the disclosures?
Oh, yes. Well, this is part of it. You see, we always said that one of the key components of disclosure, I mean, people have to understand, the reason UFOs and all this other stuff has been kept secret isn't because they think people are going to hurl themselves off the I used to say World Trade Center, but the Empire State Building, because there's life in outer space. It's because the propulsion and energy systems running those devices, which we've been studying for 60 years, have been figured out. And that would change the whole way the world works in terms of oil, energy, central control, central economic planning. So I think that this is the big disclosure. I mean, and in fact, in this sense, it's the practical aspect of the Disclosure Project, because testimony and documents and things are very important for education, but ultimately people want to see an actual system. Now, we're not getting it from outer space. We're getting it from a very human person.
Right.
But I point out to people, the laws of the universe are universal.
Yeah.
And we have someone here who's like it appears to be like a Tesla genius when it comes to electronics, who has figured this out. And I think that that's why that, in a sense, is moving the whole disclosure effort down the path further. And in the wake of that, it will also then catapult forward more of the information about these other secret projects. Well, if we have this, what else is there?
Yeah.
Well, then we'll get into anti-gravity. Yeah. Then we'll obviously get into the discussion of UFOs and extraterrestrial technology.
And let's keep in mind, folks, that the secrecy of the UFOs and the energy propulsion systems are not from security. It's all about greed.
Oh, sure. I mean, they wrap themselves in national security and the Bible and the American flag or whatever they can, but it's demagoguery at its worst.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last refuge of the scoundrel, it was once said. I think Carl Sandburg or someone said that, or Mark Twain. And what happens is that they have used that as an excuse for holding these things back from the public. In reality, the secrecy itself, this illegal secrecy, not normal secrecy, but this illegal secrecy has become the most serious threat to the national security, to world peace, and to the human future that has ever been witnessed in the history of mankind. So it's very important that we understand that, and understand that what we're doing is very patriotic, and it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing. And on that note, the right thing to do is to tell people where to find you, and that is at thedisclosureproject.org. And also, Cease Power. If you want to learn more information about this device, ceasepower.com. And Cease is spelled S-E-A-S, power.com. And you can find, there's lots more interviews with Dr. Greer in there. You can find out about the international press conference that took place.
Yes, and you can also get in touch with Congress and be able to send out faxes to those people through the website. And
exactly.
Also, if you're looking to donate funds, if you're looking to donate, volunteer, or assist on any level, you can get this information through thedisclosureproject.org.
Exactly. Thank you, Stephen, for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for spreading the word.
Absolutely.